The views and discussion expressed on this program do not necessarily represent those of the hosts of the program, WMKV, Maple Knoll Communities, WLHS, the Lakota Local School District, or staff and management. The information and advice presented are educational in nature and not intended to be taken as specific legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Always consult with your own legal, accounting, or other professional before making any investment. Welcome to Real Life Real Estate Investing, a show to help you gain financial freedom by investing in real estate. Brought to you by the Real Estate Investors Association of Cincinnati and the Ohio Real Estate Investors Association. You're listening to Real Life Real Estate Investing on WMKV, WLHS, and the Maple Knoll Radio Network. And now your host, Vina Jones Cox.
Good afternoon. I am Vina Jones Cox, and this is Real Life Real Estate Investing, where this week, as every week, we're giving you the information and inspiration you need to start or grow your own real estate investing business. So what is coming up in the real estate investing world? Tomorrow night is the big national chapter meeting of the Real Estate Investors Association of Greater Cincinnati. It's one for those of us who are fascinated by how people who manage 400 doors do that and still have like a life and vacations and fun and a family and all of that stuff. People who own two or three different businesses in real estate. Like, I have a real estate portfolio. I have my title company. I have my hard money lending company. I don't have all that kind of stuff, but there are people who do. So, yeah, how do they do it? That's the whole question that's going to be asked tomorrow night at the Cincinnati REIA meeting. You're going to be able to ask questions about how did they scale to where they are and what sort of tech and tools and systems and people do they have in place that allow them to do 10 times the amount of business that's driving you absolutely crazy. And when I say you, I mean me. I mean, like, all of us have that particular issue where we might be super really good at real estate investing, but we're maybe not super really good at the business part of it. So you can get a ticket to that by ticket. It's not a ticket. It's a link. It's on Zoom. You can get your Zoom link at CincinnatiREIA.com. Obviously it is on Zoom, so you can attend from wherever you are listening in the country. Cincinnati is Cincinnati. REIA, REIA.com is that address. Our topic today is sort of tangentially related to that whole idea of we can be very, very good at rehabbing or wholesaling or buying rentals or doing creative finance or short-term rentals or whatever, and really have no clue about the business side of a real estate business. And when you have no clue about the business side of a real estate business, you are sort of doomed to forever be a stressed out entrepreneur who just cannot grow beyond a certain point because there's just not enough of you. We're going to talk today to David Richter, who is an active real estate investor. He's got over 850 deals under his belt. And he is also, speaking of people who have more than one thing that they do, the founder of a company called Simple CFO Solutions, LLC. And he is the author of Profit First for Real Estate Investing. He's joining us today by phone. David, welcome to Real Life Real Estate.
Hey, thanks for having me, Vina.
It's so good to talk to you.
Yes, I'm glad to be here.
Yes, I'm very glad you're here. The whole thing about live radio as opposed to a podcast, where if the
definitely different for me.
Yeah, if the phone number doesn't go through, you're just like, oh well, we'll do it tomorrow. Yeah, and then don't work
right
so well necessarily here
exactly
on live radio. And we have lots of those little adventures, don't we, Mike? That happens. Mike's the engineer who's sweating through his shirt for some reason because he was like, "Can Vina really tap dance for an hour?" Yes, I can, Mike. Don't worry. I could have just talked to myself for an hour. So, David,
yeah,
tell us about this whole journey that you took from real estate investor to author and owner of a company that now helps other real estate investors run actual businesses.
Yeah, so that is a journey. Journey is the right word for it. Because I started in my early 20s, right after college, because I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and that was game over for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to go work a job, 40 years and retire and all that. So I linked up with a real estate company that was in our local area. We were doing deals outside of Chicago, so in Northwest Indiana. And that company that I linked up with was doing about 5 wholesale deals a month in the Northwest Indiana area. And we, over the 5 years there that I was there, we scaled it up to about 25 deals a month between wholesales, fix and flips. We had rentals. We had turnkeys. We had lease options. We had about 100 some in the portfolio, and about 80% of those were lease options. So we did lots of deals, but while I was there, we were doing 25 deals a month, but spending about 26 worth out the door of deals. So it's like, who cares that we're doing 300 deals a year if we're spent, you make a million, but you spend 1.1 to get there. So that was our story. And I actually got to sit in lots of different seats during that time. Because I was in my young 20s, and I was like the utility man, so I was in marketing, sales, I was in project management, property management, I was in the finance seat in the very last seat, because honestly, I like systems and stuff, so I would build a system, give me a new seat, build a system, give me a new seat. So then the last year I was there, I was in the finance seat, and since this is radio, you can't see me, but if you looked at me, you would think I'm a bookkeeper accountant by trade. I am not, though. I'm actually a real estate investor through and through, but in that last year, I sat down with the CPA that we had at that time and just asked him 1,000 questions. Like, teach me how to read the story of the business through the numbers, the profit and loss, the balance sheet, all of that. And that's where I cut my teeth on the finances. And that's where I really learned that, like, oh my gosh, we're doing all these deals, but the money, there is no money at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And that's how I even got exposed to, okay, just because you run a business doesn't mean that it's all sunshine and rainbows and that there's this big pot of gold waiting for you at the end of the day if you're not running it, like you had mentioned, like a business. So, but then it wasn't just us. We were going to meetups and events and masterminds. And once we started opening up to people, like everyone would stand up on stage and say, yeah, we're doing X amount of dollars or X amount of deals or 7 figures. But then they'd be crying in their beer later that they're not making any money either. Like, where's all the money going? Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just us. So that really opened my eyes that it wasn't just us, that this was probably more of an epidemic. And I'm like, good grief. And so needless to say, I wish I had a great ending to that story for you, Vina, that company, we turned it around. I actually went to the guy that owned it with a plan of like, here's how you get from the red to the black and put it all on paper. And he said, no, I don't want to do that. I was like, okay, then stuff is going to have to change. So then I moved across the country with my wife. We had a little portfolio. We sold everything. I started working with an investor in the Virginia area. He was doing not 25 deals a month, but one deal a month. And he was in the exact same boat. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it is everywhere. So, but this guy, thankfully, took what I was having him to sit down and say, here's the steps to get out of it. And he followed it to a T. And that's how I got violently shoved into Simple CFO, because I'm like, after I helped him turn it around and he was not going upside down anymore, he was able to take money out of his business. He started paying himself for the very first time. He started actually getting profit in the company. He said, this has been life-changing. So that's where Simple CFO was born, from that person. And that's where I was like, I just want to give people clarity of where their numbers are. And simple numbers, what's coming in, what's going out, what do you get to keep? Like, what can you actually put in your pocket? That's what even drove me to read Profit First, because a mentor of mine, once they heard I was starting Simple CFO in this space, he's like, you should read Profit First. So I read that night. He told me that 10 pages later, and that whole book was done in one evening. And I'm like, this is the system I want to implement with real estate investors. So there's the journey of about, what, about 7 to 8 years over that time period of when I first started real estate investing to what exposed me to an epidemic in this space, to then going to be like, okay, what's the solution that people need? And it was that getting that clarity around the finances so they can make better decisions with the money and actually keep some of the profit that they're actually making.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Epidemic is probably the correct word. When you were talking to people who were not in your position, who were not in companies that were doing 25 deals a month, I'm sure they all went, oh my God, I want to be you someday. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Tell me about your marketing. Tell me about your staff. Tell me about your, and
like you've been here before.
and you're sitting there going, you don't want to do what I do, like, no,
right.
I know it looks like really, but you can't, you know, say that out loud to people who, when you're just having kind of a casual conversation with them.
Right.
It's the epidemic that I called broke millionaires.
Yeah.
There's lots of people. My dad was one of these, actually, who can show you on paper that they are worth $1 million. They have a million, they own $1 million more worth of real estate than they, oh, and if it's the middle of the month and they need to take their family out for dinner, they're looking in the couch cushions for change,
right.
Because there's not,
yep,
there's not another paycheck for another 2 weeks. So, I observed that as a child, and I would say that, My dad got out of it just by aging out of it, because there just comes a point when you've owned your properties long enough that you don't owe any more money on them. And,
right.
And it's actually super easy to make money on properties if they're not leveraged, but that is not the situation that most of us are in for the first 30 years of our real estate careers.
Right.
So,
yes.
When we,
real estate is forgiving, especially if you hold on to it for 30 years.
Exactly. So, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about this thing that you mentioned called Profit First. And we're also going to take questions from listeners. You guys, if you have any questions for David, you can either call them in at 877-772-9658, or you can email them. The email is vinaradio@gmail.com. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. I'm your host, Vina Jones Cox. My guest today is David Richter, author of Profit First for Real Estate Investing, owner of a company called Simple CFO that works primarily with real estate investors. If in the first 15 minutes of the show you went, stop talking about me! How can you be in my house understanding what's going on with me? I'm going to tell you that the next 30 minutes, you might get a little frustrated, because we can only just get so far with this in 42 minutes, okay? But luckily for you, David is doing an all-day online session about how to kind of get control of all of this, find out what's going on, make sure it doesn't happen in the future, allow you to scale intelligently instead of the way most real estate investors do, which is utterly chaotically. I'm doing 5 deals a month and I want to do 25 deals a month, so I'm just going to go out and work harder and, like, not even think about what that's going to mean in the way of additional people, money, etc. It's June the 28th, so it's not this Saturday. It is next Saturday. And you can sign up for it at CincinnatiRIA.com. And I'm telling you, if you were like, oh my God, either that's me or that's becoming me, you want to go to that, CincinnatiRIA.com. So, you wrote this book, Profit First for Real Estate Investing. It is a plug-in to another book called Profit First that has been around for quite a long time. And Profit First is really kind of a system. What is that all about? What is the Profit First system?
Yeah. So first, a lot of people have probably heard the principles behind it. If they've in the real estate or they have any inkling towards it, you've probably heard of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, or some of these other books that get thrown around in the real estate world, like The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People or The Richest Man in Babylon. But all those books have the same concept that Profit First teaches. And like Rich Dad, Poor Dad says it in this way, says, you know, that you should pay yourself first. or the richest man in Babylon, a portion of all you have is yours to keep. All that's saying is, if you're going to make the money, you need to keep some of it. Like, protect yourself, pay yourself first, making sure that you're actually profitable and healthy, and thus the name profit first, making sure you're putting profit first in your business, which is, it sounds a little bit funny that I even have to say that, because it's like, if you're running a for-profit business, you want to make sure you have the profits there and you are profitable. Even if you're a real estate investor, when we say profit first, we're talking about cash in your account. Even if you don't show a profit on your profit and loss or like something like that for tax purposes, you can still have cash. So we're talking about having actual cash that you get to keep, that you get to use for what you want. But it's not just the mindset behind it, like Rich Dad, Poor Dad. What I love about Profit First and what drove me to write a real estate version of it is that there is an actual system behind it. Because a lot of people say, well, great, pay yourself first. That sounds amazing. How do I do that? Or I can't do that.
I can't afford to do that.
Right. I can't afford to do that. And I tell people, like, this is why I like it, because it helps you wherever you are on your journey. Whether you're at deal zero or deal 1,000, like, there's a step you can take, and there's like a practical journey behind it as well too that you can actually implement, so you have a system. Because really behind it, it's the envelope method. Like, that's really the methodology. If you've ever heard about that in the personal finance space, you're being intentional with every dollar, and we could go deeper into it, but that's just a high level overview. The first is the mindset, like, pay yourself first, and then there's a system behind it to actually make it a reality. No matter where you are on your journey, it's just making sure that you, if you make a dollar, you know what to do with it so you can maximize those dollars and make sure you're keeping more of what you're making.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I've often thought that for real estate investors, the system is a little bit unfortunately named. Because whenever I tell people, whenever I tell people you should read Profit First, they're like, no, profit doesn't come before ethics or family or anything like that.
Right.
And that's not at all what it means. it means
and
in the.
Sometimes they think it's like profit, like, and if they're buying rentals, well, I don't want profit. Like, I don't want, I want to make sure I'm not making money. I've heard that argument too. Like, I don't want profit. And I'm like, whoa, wait a second. That's why you heard that caveat. It's not just profit, it's cash. And it's making sure that you're healthy. So, yeah, I totally get where you're coming from. I think it is unfortunately named.
Yeah, but once you read it, you're like, oh, okay, I get it. I get it. You're saying, you're saying if you have X dollars and your business needs Y dollars a month to survive, you don't take your X dollars and go buy the next great deal that comes up. You're more intentional about it than that. And unfortunately, that's how a lot of real estate investors manage their money. Their key financial indicator is how much is in the bank.
Yeah, exactly. And that is, I was just talking to a guy this week, was on the call with him just like this, and was telling him, like, here's what this is all about. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's what I do. I just open up my bank account. If I have a lot of money, I spend it. If I don't, I don't even like looking at it. Like, so I'm a little bit more guarded with it. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly how most entrepreneurs manage their money. Is just, if I've got one big bank account, I call it the black hole bank account. Money comes in, it gets sucked right out into the swirling vortex of doom, never to be seen again. And you're like, where'd all my money go? And that's how most people are managing their money as an entrepreneur in the real estate space and outside of the real estate space too, honestly.
Mm-hmm. That was my life for many, many years. I could not figure out. I would be looking forward to, okay, we're going to close this really big deal at the end of the month, and then I'll be able to go on vacation. And we would close the really big deal at the end of the month, and I would open up my bank account the next Friday, and there was, like, you know, there would have been $120,000 in it the prior week, and now there's like seven. And I would say to the bookkeeper, are you, like, stealing the money? Like, where did all that money go? Because, I mean, I know we had mortgage payments due, but, and I know that there was that bill that we, you know, the big credit card bill we need to get paid off, but it doesn't seem like that should be that much money. And she would show me the list of things that were waiting to be paid by that. Like, it just, it wasn't planning at all. It was more like, oh, I see an animal. I'm going to hunt it and kill it. And now I'm, wait, it's gone. I can't eat it. You know? So
right.
It was,
God, man.
It was, It was quite a big mess until I got a CFO involved who could actually look at the whole thing and say, oh, well, here's your problem. I'll tell you part of the problem.
Yeah.
And I bet you see this a lot too, is subscription creep. It seems so unimportant that I've got this $97 a month thing and this $120 a month thing and this, and all business related, right? All stuff I need.
Yeah.
All stuff I use, except for the stuff that I signed up for and then never use, but then forgot about.
Right, exactly. And that's what I was talking about. It's that intentionality with those dollars. And it's like that's where people get the subscription creep, or just like you gave a great example of what we see all the time. Oh, here's this next big deal that I need to take down. Or like if you're living in flight or fight mode or survival mode, like you need that next deal, and sometimes you take a marginal deal where if it doesn't work just right and close just at this date, you might be losing money, but it, by God, it's a deal. Like, I got to get this deal in the door. And it's like that's where a lot of us just make those decisions and not knowing what the real consequences are on the backside. And that's why I'm like, you just need a fighting chance. Like, if I could just give you clarity into that, so that way you can make a more informed decision, then you'll feel more in control as an investor.
And not make those emotional decisions that a lot of people make. One that I'm seeing right now that's being made over and over and over, and it is going to end up sinking a bunch of investors who did not need to be sunk. Like, they didn't do anything wrong, but they don't have this clarity that you're talking about, is their rehabs aren't selling.
Yep.
And
that's
so,
a big one right now.
So what are they doing? They're going and borrowing more money on the same rehab to get through, get the hard money payments caught up, you know? So
right.
They've got a deal that's already not selling and has sucked up a lot of money and holding costs, but they still have some equity. So they go get another loan for the equity for operating expenses, and that just makes it worse because now they've got a deal that if it continues to not sell, they really can't even drop the price anymore because they owe too many people too much money. And, you know, it's an emotional decision. I get it. I want to keep my hard money payments up. I've got a relationship with this hard money lender, but if you really had insight into your business and the market and how things flow in and out, you might make the decision that it's actually better to not pay the hard money lender than to pull somebody else down into the quicksand with you, which is
right. What
is happening. So we need to take another quick break. When we come back, we are going to talk about what the controls look like here, how people get themselves into this situation. Some things that you could do maybe right now if you feel like you might be in that situation. And we're also going to take your questions, 877-772-9658 or vinaradio@gmail.com. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. I'm your host, Vina Jones Cox. My guest today is David Richter. Simple CFO is his company. Profit First for Real Estate Investing is his book. We're talking about this phenomenon where people get to a certain level in their real estate business and they find themselves in the position where they're provably making more money. They can show that there are more deals, that there's more checks coming in, that they're coming in more often. And yet somehow at the end of the day, they are able to keep less money. And our goal in being in real estate is not to feed a business. It's to feed our families and not just food, but like also vacations and college educations and things like that. So, we're talking about what causes this and what some of the solutions might be. I have an email in the vinaradio@gmail.com box from Faith. She says, David is speaking directly to some of the people I know, let's say. I have lived for the last 5 years by saying every time that my bank account got low, I would just double down and go wholesale some more houses or flip an extra deal. But I'm starting to get the feeling that I don't want to live the rest of my life like this. What would David say to me asking for a friend?
Oh, man. That's great. What a great way to phrase that one. Let me just take a step back. I think the way to look at that one is so many of us, if we're in the real estate world, we think we're playing the real estate game. We think that we're out there to wholesale or flip, and that's the end goal. The deals equal the dollars, right? But that's not always the case. The real game we're all playing as entrepreneurs, especially in the real estate world, is the game of money. So it's like, for this question, it's more like you're playing the game of money, so do you know when a deal comes in what to do with the money so you don't have to keep going out there and wholesaling more just because you're getting you're feeling broke and, oh, shoot, now I've got to do these X amount of deals. Or the tax bill comes and, mm-hmm. Oh, shoot, I got to go wholesale 4 deals just to get this thing under control. It's learning to play the game of money. And knowing, like, how do you set it up? That's where I believe Profit First takes at least that first step to making sure you can set up the game of money to win and at least give yourself a fighting chance where most people have zero things in place when it comes to money management. And let's be honest, it's not the most exciting topic, but it's the one that can help you reach financial freedom because it's about playing the money game to win. So first of all, I would get these principles that we're talking about here, maybe pick up the book or go online and just look at what are the first couple steps here. What can I do? That would be one of the first things I would do to be like, I need to stop this rat race that I'm on right now of doing deals. It feels great. Or like you had mentioned, Vina, I wake up one day, I have 120,000. Next week, I have 7,000. It's like we got to get off of that, you know, that seesaw where it's like up one day, down the next. And those are the first steps I would take is learning that you're really playing the game of money. And one of those first steps is getting a system like Profit First set up in your business.
Mm-hmm. Isn't the base issue here, other than that real estate investors want to be real estate investors, they don't want to be people who are putting systems in place to manage their money until they absolutely have to, which will eventually happen to them.
Right.
Isn't the base issue here that most real estate investors really don't have a clear idea of what it costs to run their own business? I mean, they could tell you like, here's my mortgage payment, not every month.
Oh,
okay,
sure.
Great. But What about everything else? Oh, well, my taxes are this much every half. Okay, you've gotten 2 of about 100 expenses that your business has. What are the rest of them? Well, according to my tax return, right? They don't have an ongoing grip on what really goes out, and so when more stuff starts going out, they don't really notice it.
Right. And I think it's almost like that's what we were talking about, that symptom where more is going out than coming in, you know, of the real problem of they're not thinking themselves like a business owner. Well, I'm just doing real estate and I'm out here to do the deals, where you're a business owner and you're putting these systems, you're not putting systems in place or whatever because you feel like I'm just a real estate investor. So I don't need that. I just need to go do deals. I'm really good at talking to people and getting the deals in the door. And when it comes to actually having money in your bank account, like I love that example you used, Vina. It's like you wake up at that day after the, you know, all those deals, that big deal closes or the week after, and it's like, where's all that money gone? And it's because we don't really understand or have that clarity in our business. And I like to say it like this. We don't have the clarity around the 3 most important numbers, what you make, what you spend, and what you're able to keep. Like, most investors cannot give me those simple numbers from their business when I talk to them. Like, what'd you make last month? Do you know the exact spend or, like, how much you're spending on the business on a monthly basis? I'm not talking about the deal. I'm talking about your business. And then, did you get to keep any, or do you know that you get to keep any? And you're exactly right. Most people cannot give me those simple numbers in their business. And I think that is one of the core problems as well.
Well, so for somebody who, somebody like that, and that's, you know, that's most people, and let's also admit that early on in your career, that works. Early on in your career, when you've got a very small, your marketing budget and like your gas for your car and like you're only doing one deal at a time. And so you know what every charge you made at Home Depot was like early on. It's fine. And it really does work to just go from deal to deal to deal because each one kind of stands all by itself. It's when you start doing several or you have a portfolio of properties or that the problem really occurs. But if I am that person, if I'm the one who's like, no, I'm the real estate investor, I'm good at talking to people, how am I going to get that clarity? Like the very idea of having to sit down and figure out my books is overwhelming.
Right. That to me was what resonated when I read Profit First originally, because it's spoken and written to entrepreneurs, and it can, it doesn't mention like QuickBooks Online or bookkeeping or like any type of software. It's literally cash and bank accounts. Like it deals with what we deal with as entrepreneurs every day. So at least with our cash, we can know what's coming in, what's going out, and what do I get to keep. That's what drove me to that, where if you're wondering, like, how in the world do I do this? Or if I'm just starting, because I like what you said. It's like when we're small, it doesn't really matter. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, the problems don't manifest when you're small and when you just can track it all in your head. But if you scale it all with the improper habits of money management, the problems will just escalate the bigger you get. I have seen so many entrepreneurs go out there and just hustle to the seven-figure mark now because I just see this all the time, every week, almost every day. And lots of people, if you just put in the work, if you're really good at talking to people, you follow people like Vina that tell you how to make money and she's really good at helping you get that cash in the door, then it's like you can scale. But if you scale and you don't have the keep money side, you're just going to, you know, you're going to exacerbate the problem, and it's going to grow until it's almost unmanageable. And you're like, what the heck did I do? And like to give a little Yoda wisdom here, you're going to have to unlearn what you have learned when it comes to your money.
Yeah.
And it's like, we've got to go backwards a little bit. So that's where I'm like, the simple step is like for the Profit First, it deals with cash and bank accounts. And we could go into that system and give some practical advice there, but it's like starting with what you will do and what you can do consistently that won't be this huge burden on you to get started on the financial side.
Yeah, that's what I liked about Profit First when I read it 10 or 15 years ago, I guess, was it didn't try and teach me double entry accounting.
Right. I was like, yeah, that would have put me off completely.
It just said, do this. So yes, let's talk about what this is in terms of the first steps to implementing the system. It involves just bank accounts.
Exactly. If you're listening to this and you've ever heard of the envelope method that some personal finance gurus out there have made very popular in the personal finance space, this is where it's taking those principles of giving every dollar a name and separating out your money and giving every dollar a name in different bank accounts, because I'm not going to have you set up envelopes in your business. I want you to set up business checking accounts, but to name them. And there are core accounts. There's five initial accounts and five you might be like, what the freak? Like, I've already got these bank accounts set up, like, you know, for all my different properties and all that. But these accounts are to control the money, to show you where your money is coming in, going out, what you get to keep. The first three accounts help you keep more of it. There's an account to see how much is coming in called the income account, and there's the OPEX of what's flowing out. You'll never guess what one of the big accounts is to keep more of it. It's called the profit account. The other two are the owner's comp, or what you pay yourself consistently, and then owner's tax. So those are the five core accounts: income, so you can see what's coming in, and then you'll transfer it from income to the other account. Those three accounts that help you keep it: profit, owner's comp, owner's tax, and then OPEX, which is operational expenses, which is what you spend in the business. And if you are sitting there like, what the heck? Like, you just told me, you know, fire hose mode here. What, you know, like what the system is. What I would tell you if you're struggling, or if you were like, if you send in the email and ask a question, I would say start with one account. Start with one. I would start with like the profit account and just be like, from every deal that I do, can I put 1% of my profit in there? I want you to prove to yourself you can start to instill good habits in your business, and you'll like that you actually have some money in an account that's not just going to have those automatic subscriptions coming out of it, so you can actually watch it grow. Mm-hmm. And if you can see that when it's small and when it's just something that you can do that's simple, then you'll be more open to opening up more and being able to go out there and have the system in place. But that's where I would start.
Interesting. If somebody were asking me, I would say, no, just go and open up all five accounts, because you're like in this or you're not. And
oh, man. I love your line of thinking. I just like, I need to make sure that if you're listening to this, you can actually go out there and like, it feels doable. I don't want it to be too overwhelming for you at the very beginning, but it's like, obviously I want you to set up the full system so you can be taking advantage of it right away. But if you're doing one property and like that, that's a good time to start the whole thing. If you're doing 1,000 properties,
if you're lucky enough to be starting early, open
right.
the one
yeah.
account. But, I think one of the most important accounts that you have there, and you kind of breezed past it, was the owner's tax account.
Yes, I could spend the whole 45 minutes on that one account if we wanted to.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I've seen that one save more people's butts than they would care to admit.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many people get into that place when they get into real estate. It might be their first actual entrepreneur, you know, like endeavor. They make these big checks. Like, you can make in one check, if you're flipping, what you might have made a whole 12 months before. And if you do that twice in 1 year, you're going to owe more taxes than you've ever owed before, because no one's like putting that money away or directly depositing to the IRS for you anymore if you're not having a W-2 and it's like just siphoned out automatically. So you actually have to save for it. So that's why we set up that account. It's more of a financial peace of mind account.
Yes.
So when tax time comes and you owe taxes, you can pay them from the business and you don't have to worry like, oh, shoot, I got to go do X amount of deals to cover this tax bill.
Yep. And that is your sacrosanct account there. It doesn't matter how good a deal shows up on your table. The money does not come out of that account to buy that deal, because the IRS is not as forgiving as a seller that you didn't make an offer to. We need to take one last quick break, Dave. When we come back, we'll wrap this up with some advice for listeners and a further educational opportunity. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. Just a couple of minutes left in the show, talking today to David Richter, author of Profit First for Real Estate Investing, about the no longer secret, as of today, phenomenon of folks who, you look at them and you go, oh my God, they're doing so many deals. I want to be them. I want their lives. And secretly, they are drowning because they have no control over the finances of their business. They are not clear on what's going on in that regard. And for that reason, they often feel broke, and then sometimes they go broke, sometimes very dramatically. And we have all seen that happen. So, David, just give us like 2 minutes of what differences have you seen with people who, they're afraid to look at their bank accounts. You know, I've been there too. they're afraid to look at what things are like, because they just know it's bad. And then they adopt these systems. And then what does it look like on the other side?
So I've been doing this for almost 6 years now, and there's never been one time when someone actually got the clarity that they haven't either turned it around or ramped up what they were already profitable. Because knowing is the power to make the change. That's why knowledge is power. To be able to have the clarity of knowing what's coming in, what's going out, what you're keeping, really gives you that. I remember there was the one lady who came in, and she was very nervous about just knowing what was going on in her business. Like, what is the bottom line? I remember she even said at the beginning, she's like, I'm not even sure. I'm scared you're going to tell me I'm going to have to file bankruptcy. And so we sat down with her and we're like, it's not that bad. Like, once things were cleaned up and once we had the clarity of the books and the numbers, you know, it wasn't a great situation. Like, she was in the red, you know, to the tune of about $20,000 for the year up to that point. But then she knew, okay, now I have the clarity to see, where am I losing the money? What can I get rid of? Right, like you said earlier, Vina, like, where is the subscription creep, but other, you know, things that had crept in as well too. And then going, not just slashing that, but then being able to say what's worked. Mm-hmm. Once she had the clarity, she could say, what marketing has worked for me and what do I need to pour more money into? And then once she actually did that, then she started to have positive months. So at first it was only like 2 to 3K, but at least it was a positive month. Then it was like 5K, then 10K, then 15, you know, and now she's making well over six figures net profit each year, but coming in and wondering if she's going to be bankrupt. And I just see that happen. And it, honestly, she wasn't doing a ton of deals. She was doing maybe about, you know, 10 to 12 a year. And mm-hmm. that's where I see it at that level. But then I've seen major turnarounds. One guy came in, thought he was positive, didn't think he was going to need to declare bankruptcy, but he was actually $260,000 in the hole when he came to us, like upside down. And loans, like you had said, Vina, were covering his sins. And like, just being able to see that, first it scared him to death, but then he actually took the action and the plan and everything that we laid out with Profit First, and then being able to stack the cash. And like, he was starting to make lots more money and it was starting to pick up for him. And then the very next year, he was able to pay all of his property taxes, all of his taxes, and like get back into the black, because he actually started to say, from every dollar that I bring in, I'm going to give it a name and I'm going to be very intentional with it. And I'll never forget, he said, that tax account saved my behind. So, I mean, mm-hmm. I could give you story after story of people and investors that just getting that knowledge of their business has helped them get to where they want to be financially.
So it's not just, okay, so I understand what's going on, so I can fix it. It's also a basis from which to make future decisions.
Exactly. I want to be able to forecast and know what's coming down the pipeline and be able to make a better decision. So that way it's not just survival mode, it's the thriving. It's I love what you said. You're the master of these one liners. It's like being able to not just feed your family, but like the extra things that you want to do with them. Like not just feed the business, but you want to feed your family and you want to feed them the extra things, and being able to make the decision that puts you in that position, and you're controlling your cash mm-hmm. and it's not controlling you anymore.
Yes, and even things like one of the things that I discovered once I was really willing to sit down and look at what was going on is that all the properties that I thought had the highest cash flow, because I had bought them the cheapest, because they were in the cheapest neighborhoods. you know the kind I'm talking about, you know, at that time you could buy one of these houses in Cincinnati for $25,000 or $30,000, and it would rent for $900 a month. How is that not better than a house that I pay $100,000 for, and it rents for $1,200 a month? Right? Like it just right. makes no logical sense that those little cheap houses wouldn't be cash cows. They weren't cash cows. They were what was sucking most of the time, repair money, property manager time, had the longest vacancies, had the most unpaid rents where we ended up having to evict people. They were not the properties that were making money. And it made no like logical sense just looking at it from a real estate investor point of view. But once you see it on paper, you're like, okay, so I need to get rid of those and get better properties. And I think rehabbers have the same experience when they're looking at what price range of rehab makes them the most money.
Yeah.
It must be the $750,000 house, because if I bought it at 75 cents on the dollar, then the profit at the end is going to be $200,000, where in the $350,000 house, which would be more bread and butter here in Cincinnati, I'm only going to make $70,000. So obviously I should do the much more expensive ones. Well, except if you really look, that it might be that the holding costs on those really expensive ones are so much that they are not making as much money as the middle end houses are.
Exactly. And being able to know that and have the clarity and the percentages, like even you might make more, but is it a lesser percentage and more headache?
Like, yes.
And it doesn't really pan out in the end.
Yes, indeed. So, biggest mistake that you see real estate investors making with their money? Just like we talked about a whole bunch of them, not understanding it, not knowing we're in the money business. What would you say is the thing that probably most of our listeners are doing right now?
I think what you said at the end, you were willing to face it. I think it's the willingness to face it. And if you're not willing to face it, that's probably the thing that might be holding you back the most. It's like, what is that from Joseph Campbell? It's like, the cave we fear to enter holds the treasure. It's like, if you just dive into to get clarity, where really knowing where do you stand and pushing past that fear, it's like that is where financial freedom lives, is being able to make better money decisions. So I'd say one of the biggest things that's holding people back is exactly what you had mentioned there. It's like the willingness to look and to be able to say, where am I? Because I've seen people, once they look at it, like I said, it's 100%. They've been able to turn it around from wherever they have been, because now they have the power to make better decisions for their future, even if they had messed up to that point, but they just didn't know they were messing up because they didn't have that clarity.
Yep. It's terrifying, but
it is.
We go into dark basements that smell like there's probably rats in them. So we shouldn't be terrified to sit down and take a look at what is really going on in our own businesses. Now, David, you're going to be on the panel tomorrow night with Cincinnati RIA, amongst all the other folks who do a lot of different things in their business. And you're going to be available to answer some questions about how you were able to scale. That is a nationwide meeting. It's on Zoom, CincinnatiRIA.com. And then on June the 28th, you're doing a 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. session for folks who are needing to and willing to face up to the fact that business owner is different than real estate investor, and it may be time for them to be a business owner. You're going to cover some of these profit first things that we kind of had to zoom past in a lot more detail. What else?
Yes, we're also going to be talking about how to overcome that fear. If you're having that fear, or like what other people have gone through to that point, we're also going to give some just basics. Like, here are the first things. We call it the financial foundation. Like, if you want to know where to start and you have no idea what to put in place, what are the first steps? How do I actually get control over this? Because ultimately, at the end of the day, you want financial freedom. And if you can make the money, I want to teach you the keep money skill set as well. And that's what that whole day is going to be about, is transferring what we know to you in order for you to be able to keep more of the money that you're making, and giving you not just pie in the sky stuff, but like tangible things from that meeting to be able to go back and be able to keep more from the next deal that you do.
Mm-hmm. So should newish investors who are doing deals think about attending that?
Honestly, I would love to, wherever you are in that spectrum, newer, and you're just getting into it and you're just starting, because if you can get good habits from the first deals, you'll have great habits when you're doing 10, 20, or 100th deal. So I'd love it if people that are even newish and they're starting to do it and they've got some deals under their belt, this will just help them be more profitable from those very next deals.
Again, that's online. So it is available to anybody who's within, well, listening radius, which is the whole world. The place to go to get more information and to get your ticket to either tomorrow night, which is our panel about how to, how a bunch of different people, David amongst them, have grown up businesses and also have lives, and also the June 28th meeting that David and his partner are doing about how to implement these systems yourself, CincinnatiRIA.com, same place for either one. Thanks, David. Appreciate
Thank
your
you,
time
Rena.
Today. Looking forward to hearing what you have to say on January. Or, why do I keep saying January? June the 28th. We'll be back next week with more information to put you on the path to financial independence through real estate investing. Until then, happy investing.